Isn't that good news, everyone? Without your prayers, it could not have happened. Also, as a church, you gave money and funds for a huge gathering in last November. I was invited by the Pentecostal movement, who said, if you can gather funds for us to rent land from the Muslims, we'll draw over 30,000 people together in the most unreached, Operation World says, part of the world in Pakistan for you to share the gospel. So you helped with funds to gather and to rent out hundreds of combi buses that were sent all over this particular part of Pakistan that you're going to see in a moment. And last November, in the middle of the month, I was able to share the good news with approximately 30,000 people. It didn't start off easy. You'll see in this next picture, there was a huge, let's go back a couple photos, right here. You look at the sun. Lahore was stated as the day I arrived as the most polluted city in the world. And so what they advertised around the nation is you didn't have to go to school anymore. You didn't even have to show up to work. So all of a sudden, the funds I gathered and all the prayers of God's people around the world were wondering what's going to happen, because in New Delhi, a huge pollution cloud floated right over the area that we were going to do this prayer festival, and I was going to share the good news. So there we are, looking at the sun in the sky that you can hardly see as an orange kind of globe. And then the next slide we'll notice, with good security guards at my side, we packed out a couple bands, a bunch of pastors and I, and just started worshiping and praising God for a four-hour drive as we went up, praying that there would be people there. And look what happened. As far as the eyes could see were thousands of people waiting to hear the good news. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned into something good. Those people had nothing better to do that day. They couldn't go to work, they couldn't go to school, so they showed up. And as you notice, this is after the message. 50 minutes later, look at their response as through the power of the Holy Spirit, they're awakened to the love of God. They're used to about hearing about a God who's stern, who is Allah, that they have to do things to get the God to be approved and to like them. And many of them, for the first time, heard about a personal, loving God who cannot stop thinking about him, who's passionately in love with them. And as they heard the Jesus story, this is how they received it. Friends, the Spirit of the living God is moving in the world and inviting his people and church to be part of it. That is the good news. So the title for my message this morning is Our Journey of Faith. But let's go ahead and look at the next slide here. It was about 2 years ago that the Lord spoke clearly to me and said, Jeff, I'm no longer going to be rescuing or saving you from trouble. I'm going to save you in trouble. Now, you can imagine how I received that. But at least we have a good Father and a good God who at least gives us a heads up at times, right? So I'll never forget being in a vehicle heading up to do and speak to a couple thousand people to share the gospel, when all of a sudden cars were being pulled over in front of me. Vehicles stopped, people dragged out, their passports checked. And I'd already been to Pakistan a couple times, when all of a sudden the pastors in my van were like, oh no, if we stop and they check your passport, because it was during our election month, and they know U.S.'s alignment with Israel, it could be very dangerous. We need to pray to see if we need to continue to go to the event that you'll be sharing, or that we need to turn around and go back. Then the pastor got silent. He heard a ping from his phone and watched a video, extremely disturbing, that again pointed over to me and says, look, Jeff, at what's happening right now, 3.5 hours away in Afghanistan. And it was a Muslim extremist dragging a young man who could have been more than 22 years old through the mud, screaming at him and saying, renounce your faith or you'll be killed right now. The young man was screaming, his body riveted. You could only imagine the turmoil of what he was going through. And I looked and just kind of transfixed on the screen when the big, large man pulled his face 2 inches from the face of the young man and said, "One last chance, son. Deny your faith, and you will be free." I'll never forget what happened next as long as I live. Suddenly, his screams, his distorted face, his anguish disappeared as his whole face became calm, and he said these words, "Jesus, you're beautiful to me." And then his head was cut off and went rolling through the mud. The pastor then looked at me and said, "Jeff, out of honoring this young man for giving his life for Jesus, I think we need to continue on and trust God. There are over 2,000 people waiting to hear the good news. Let's not keep them waiting. What do you think, Jeff? You want to continue?" That's when I felt your prayers for me. I go, why not? What more do I have to lose in my life, right? And out of all the vehicles in line, and our car actually was the nicest, we're the only one not checked. And over 600 people made a commitment to Jesus that night. But I still had dreams of that head rolling through the mud. I still had dreams of what his parents would think. Why wasn't my son saved? Why didn't God rescue him? In the middle of the night, I woke up and I asked God a couple questions and had a strong impression that he said to me tonight, that night, "My son was looking at me, and I was looking at him, and I could resist him no longer, and I brought him home." Friends, in our journey of faith, sometimes we're rescued, sometimes we're healed, and sometimes we're not. Because the end of the huge crusade, and if you go back two pictures, you're going to see men standing to their feet, because Pentecostals, particularly in Pakistan, they're not going to let you end with a salvation message. They want healing prayers at the end, or it wasn't a good service. So they said, "Jeff, you're coming back to the mic, and you're going to do some healing prayer." So I got back to the mic, and the only clarity I had in my mind is I saw mangled legs. So I started praying for mangled legs, not knowing that these men had been drove over by a truck a couple days before when this combi came racing by with a speaker that says, "Man of God coming from America, come and get your miracle." I remember thinking, how cheesy. Wasn't cheesy to these men, because right after the healing prayer, they jumped to their feet worshiping God. We have a miracle-working God. But he being doing mission work in over 100 nations, let me also say, more people are not physically healed than healed. So I don't want to give you an impression this morning that I'm seeing these miracles one after each other all the time. What I want to give us the impression of, to at least spur us on in our journey of faith, is with hope this morning to ask the question, why do you heal sometimes? Why don't you? Matter of fact, I want to ask you in the short message to bring to mind something now that you haven't been healed from. It could be a physical ailment. It could be a hurt or a wound. It could be something that year after year after year, you pray to God and nothing's happened in that area of your life. As soon as you've brought it to mind, just slightly lift up your hand. A prayer that has not been answered. A hope that has not been met. You've anguished in prayer and there seems to be no movement. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I want you to hold that yearning, that pain, that pleading before God and his people as I continue to talk and share this message. Right after I did the evening, after I saw the beheading and the 600 to 700 people came to know the Lord, I went back and spent some time ministering in the States and Europe. And during a couple-week break, all of a sudden a growth gathered over the eardrum in my right ear. And those of you who read my book and know my story, when I was a little kid, I had an infection that wasn't properly monitored in my left ear. So most all my life, I've been mostly deaf here, but how many of us have had senses make up for other senses, right? My right ear became very strong. So all these years, I've been able to share and minister to thousands of people. I've been having really good hearing in my right ear when all of a sudden, it was almost gone. I prayed, and then I remembered God's precious promise. Jeff, I'm not going to rescue you from troubles. I'm going to save you in trouble. This is something I don't like about me. In this next slide, it says, I often want my comfort more than I want to be Christ-like. I often rather have a quick fix than to wait, endure, and grow up. Is anyone like me? I just wanted my ear to be healed. It was like, God, take the hearing away. I'm going to get back on the road and do what I love. But day after day was going on, and I couldn't hear people. And I was like, come on, let's get a hold of the program. You've given me this calling. Sometimes I'd rather have a microwavable miracle than a slow-cooked one. My brother Reed makes some of the best slow-cooked meats, right, Dad, in the world. And when there's that meat all tenderized and yummy, and you've waited for it, and you've hung out, it was worth the waiting. So some of the most precious truths I learned in that six-week period of time where I could hardly hear, and as I studied the deaf world, found that only about 1% of them even know Jesus, all of a sudden, I saw immaturities in my personality that I was pretty blind to before. The promise of the Lord in Scripture for us. In James 1, which God had me read, James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, we've heard that so many times now. But how many of us, be honest, let me see by the show of hands, actually, how many of you a trial comes and pure joy just leaps up in your heart? Thank you, God, bring it on. So I was like, oh no, I'm visiting this passage again. I've heard it preached about, and preached about myself all these times, and now I'm almost deaf, wondering what to do with my life now. I want to be rescued, and I want to go speak, but I want to be together. Stupid me. Immaturities in God's growing us up. And if we look at biblical texts, we'll see that more than God physically healing us, he wants to conform the image of Christ in us. Because what the world needs today more than anything is people who are conformed at the image of Christ. People who listen like Jesus. People who love like Jesus. They're getting sick of you and me preaching about what we're not living. We need to know Jesus not only as the truth, but as the way. And the Jesus way is slowing down to catch up with God. The Jesus way is love, and love has one speed, and that's slow. Jesus was a seer before he was a doer. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So people of God, let's slow down and see what the Father's doing and be part of it. Amen? But in the meantime, whenever you face trials of many kinds, know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Don't you love that word? But listen to the promises. In the next slide, it says, let perseverance complete its work. Now, about 3 weeks into my deafness, I was like, okay, I got it now, God. But no, he brought this verse back and said, no, son, let perseverance complete its work so that you may be mature. Well, God, aren't I already mature? I've been a missionary over 30 years, remember? Be mature and listen to this promise and complete, lacking nothing. Continue to hold your need before the Lord this morning. That need you have, that unanswered prayer, that pain you're carrying, that financial need you have, God sees and is overwhelmed with love for you. But he says, slow down, sons and daughters. Let perseverance complete its work. Because as we're patient, as we learn to wait, I call waiting the Christian four-letter F word. Sorry. We hate to wait. But as we wait, we're conformed into the likeness of his son. And then a beautiful aroma comes from our lives because we see what God's goal is. The next slide. God's goal is we have a chance for our faith to become pure faith. And as the genuineness of our faith is tried, in the next slide it explains, the reason we can consider it all joy, friends, is because the faith we had before can become pure faith. And I've been shocked recently when I studied the issues of faith, friends, and I've seen that there is a difference between having faith in Christ and having the faith of Christ. And that the faith in Christ is the entryway and the gateway and beautiful. But the disciples had that when they were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. But when the storm came and the tribulations, hardship came, they didn't know Jesus well enough. They had faith in him, but they had to wake him up in order for the storm to be calmed. Do you remember it? And they said, "You of little faith." He looks at our faith this morning, and I'm utterly convinced, friends, that the bridge from having faith in Christ to having the faith of Christ is acceptance with joy and suffering. It's what Galatians 2:20 says, when it says, "I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings," that we can be like the Amy Carmichaels, like the next slide says, where our perspective of tribulation and faith can utterly change. And this is one of my favorite quotes. And basically, as we go to the next slide and see, the joy is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. I want a different set of circumstances. I want to be healed and get better and move on. But the greatest joy in life is when you and I know who we carry in these clay vessels. Elizabeth Elliot lost loved ones, had much pain and suffering that God did not rescue her of, but the aroma of her life and teachings echo in the hearts of God's people today. And during my time of waiting to be healed and wondering if I ever was going to be, I said, "Okay, God, if you want me to be a minister amongst the deaf world, whatever you have for me, if you're changing my mission, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Because all your ways are loving and faithful." And then I started getting memories in my mind of my mom. How many of you know my mom who passed about 12 years ago? Now, we were 7 kids, 6 boys and 1 girl. You know, my parents wanted to have kids till they had a girl, right? And all those boys, one after another, came first. Finally got the call and they decided to stop, right, Dad? But when I think of being a kid, I think of my mom always being pregnant. And what I loved about mom being pregnant is all of a sudden she'd gather us around her when her stomach got big, and she put a cup or something on her belly, and we would watch the life kick in her. And she goes, "Look, there's someone living in me." And the literal proof of that cup and water spilling gave us an awareness that my mom knows there's life in her. Because prior to that, mom liked roller coasters. She loved to do fun things with us. Even though the doctor says, "You're pregnant again," it did not change her behavior till she saw and felt movement of life in her. Friends, when's the last time you felt the movement of Jesus in you? Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we are awakened to that, we start to shift from having just a faith in Christ to having the faith of Christ. And oh, that the world will see you and I when tribulations continue to come in the years ahead, a strong people who will be harmonized by our joy and our devotion to Jesus. They'll be listeners and followers and apprentices of the very Son of God. And then people will be attracted to us because they'll see a faith not built on our feelings, not built on good circumstances, but the faith of Christ. How many of us want that this morning? Acceptance with joy, friends. I love what it says in Galatians 2:16, talking about the faith in Christ and the faith of him. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, can have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Christ." And all of us know the next verse very well, but sometimes Bible translators do a good job at the bigger words, right, Rocky? And sometimes the challenging in and ofs, maybe they don't always get it right. So there's actually been some updates on the translation of in and ofs. "I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And it says, the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So may we be encouraged that the faith of the Son of God awaits us. Romans 12:12 have become precious to me. When we're going through your trial and tribulations that you're holding right now, even as I speak, it says, be joyful and hope. It's possible when we feel the kick of Jesus in us. We've made sacred space long enough in silent solitude and prayer to feel his movements. We can be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and enduring in prayer. For greater is he that is moving in us than he that is in the world, and no bad news can take that away from me. May we be those missional people who respond in hope through trials and tribulations. And lastly, before my hearing came back, when I was praying, God, what do I do next? Do I cancel going to this nation and that nation? I could hardly hear people talking. A lot of my engagements involved groups where I would need to hear people. This became precious to me, though hard to hear at first. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. As a slide reads, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God didn't give me the what to do direction. He gave me the what to be direction. He says, son, get a gratitude attitude. I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of what you do, but be thankful. And when we pause, I start off every morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things, so our youth is renewed as the eagles. And that's his precious promise to me at my age now, that our youth may be renewed like the eagles. For blessed are those who wait on the Lord. And may we be those people who are patient enough to wait. My hearing came back, thank the Lord. And that may be another trial and another change may come along that I'll have to deal with. But as I moved out in gratitude attitude and sat on the road, not being all together, neat and tidy, God's blessing was there. Again, holding your pain, your unanswered prayer before the Lord, hear the statement. Jesus has not revealed to us a God we can perfectly understand. He has revealed to us a God we can perfectly trust. And the ones I see the most physical miracles in is those young ones who haven't learned to doubt yet. In closing, we'll see a couple photos here. One's of this little beautiful girl. I was just out in Karachi, Pakistan a couple days ago. Nita lost her sight at age 7. Her parents said she never complained. She said to her parents, I fix my eyes on Jesus every day, who lives and breathes within my heart. And he said, everything's going to be okay. Well, 8 months ago, I was doing this Zoom into Karachi at a pastor's conference, and I remember the translation was so... it wasn't happening. Have you had that happen, right? And I'm thinking, maybe I should back out and end the message. But in the spirit, I'm praying, God, what do you want me to do? And I felt a sense, continue, son, push on through. Some of you in your trials and tribulations right now need to hear me say, son, daughter, push on through. Joy will come in the morning. Though the winter is longer than you thought it would be, I'm with you. I know the way that you take. As you trust me, your faith will be refined as gold. So I pushed through. The translation never seemed to get much better. But what happened at the end when there was the healing prayer time is a lady who had cancer for 18 years got healed and went to a Muslim doctor the next day. And she says, it doesn't look like you ever had any cancer at all. He says, what's your trick? My trick is a holy good God, she said. So this girl and his friend, Shahzad, in the next picture. They heard I was doing another Zoom 6 months later. And when you get a real miracle happen in the city, it spreads. And I was wondering why when I was doing the Zoom thing, there was all these young people and people who were not pastors, and it was a pastor's conference, and I didn't even end with a healing prayer for physical ailments. I prayed for the pastors whose churches were burned down through persecution and all that they had been going through. But these two little ones came, not that little, they're 14 and 15. This boy was born deaf. And at the end of the message that day, the girl received her sight and this boy his hearing. And instead of having to read his mom's lips, "I love you," when he got home late that night, he no longer had to read her lips. But he heard for the first time his mom say, "I love you, son," with his ears. We don't have to lip sync with God anymore. His sheep hear his voice. And as we pause, we'll hear the inner music of our belovedness to him if we endure and persevere and don't give up, but to wait in hope. One last story and last point. When trials and tribulations come regarding the journey of our faith, it's yet to be discovered the power of God's memorized word. One thing about mom, another thing that I loved about her, as we show the next and last slide, beautiful thing about mom, yes, she was strict. Yeah. She's a prophetic personality. Remember, Matt? It's hard to forget. But she would reward us kids for memorizing either poems or verses, and I knew that mom's favorite psalm was Psalm 23. So I thought, I must have been, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11, I thought I'm going to get some good rewards and less chores I'll have to do if I actually memorize mom's favorite psalm. Took me weeks. And yet the look in mom's eye when I said Psalm 23, and I think I messed up a couple phrases, but basically got the idea down. Her eyes got a bit emotional, and that was enough and the biggest reward I could ever receive. I was heading to a river stream in a city in Pakistan. My security guards were not with me. I got tired of having people around me all the time. I wanted to go to a little green place. I couldn't get a workout. There wasn't a gym in the area, so I thought, I'll have a walk. I looked on the map. There's a little stream down the road, or a river. So I began to walk to the stream of the river, and yet the closer I got to it, it was not what I had imagined. No greenery, a smell, deep, awful smell, and I could see the river off in the distance with a lot of refuse and piles of trash. But then out of nowhere, Psalm 23 started to play in my mind as if someone was reading it to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And we're thinking there's no green pastures around here. He leads me beside still waters. There was no still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And right at the verse where it says, "And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death," all of a sudden I'm stepping under a tree to look over at the river when a man falls on top of me and the weight of about 230 pounds, bam, on top of me. And I felt his hands go through my pockets and all over my body. Immediately the reactions throw him off. So I start pushing, but then I feel a sharp object at the top of my spine. But the powerful sacred text of Scripture, as if nothing was happening, continued. "And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. You need to fear no evil, for my rod and staff will comfort you." And I got the picture of the shepherd right with his rod and staff chasing off the wolf. And right at that point, I felt the powerful movement of Christ in me. This isn't just a religion. It's a powerful relationship. And the living force of the life of God within me was so strong that I threw the man off my shoulders and into the river. I remember being so shocked. I'm looking over him, seeing his body flail, and I hear the splash. Then I hear another sound. I turn around, another dude out of the tree. They must have been buddies. But then he saw what happened. He was out of there. He said, I'm gone. This dude threw my big friend, who's bigger than him, into the river. So he runs away. The word of God continues, and I will prepare for you a table in the presence of your enemies. Suddenly the local Pakistanis felt so bad when they saw me attacked that they're taking me around this table, and they start to give me chai and tea. And Psalm 23 continues, read by the Holy Spirit. And I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of my enemies. I will anoint your head with oil. Your cup runneth over. And the chai cup was running over as they tried to apologize to what just happened to me. And the beautiful closing statements of that powerful psalm, and my love and mercy will follow you. Correct translation is we sung in the worship song. The word follow is a weak word. It's actually supposed to be chases. His goodness and mercy will chase after you all the days of your life. And we will be in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I couldn't do all of this and would not have been rescued without the prayers of people like you. Thank you so much for not forgetting me. In the back, I have some of my books for anyone who's interested, considering running retreat on the island at the Bible camp along Deer Lake on the good fight and how you and I could make that movement from the faith in Christ to the faith of Christ. If you're interested, go ahead and sign up in the back. Because one of my callings is to help train and sustain and uphold the global body of Christ. And doing it here at home where my dad lives, if there's enough people interested, let's go for it. Amen? And then I have more information about my mission and other things I do that feel happy to grab one. But in closing, let's think of that answer prayer you've had. Let's pause in silence, Father. We remember what we're carrying, that thing that we don't like, that's not healed yet, that pain, that hurt, that need. And we desperately want your perspective. We want to be able to say wholeheartedly, I consider it joy. But it begins with honesty, and we say we're not there yet. But thank you that your passionate gaze of love, the gaze of the Good Shepherd, is forever on us. And some of us need to hear God says, you're not my disappointment. I love your love for me. But endure, my friend, my son, my daughter. And the sun will rise with healing on its wings. And you'll know that I know that I know that I am good and I am God. So bless this precious church that I love so much. Thank you for their devotion to me. Without them, I couldn't do what I do. And speak a powerful blessing that even this week, as they make sacred space for you, that you'll highlight a verse or a passage for them to memorize. Because we remember, Father, how when the enemy confronted your son in the wilderness, he quoted the power of your written word. But right now, as we listen, would you remind us of a biblical text that's precious to us? And would we memorize it this week and meditate on it and see the soothing, healing power of your presence come? That's my prayer for all of us this morning. I know the heart of God for us. And all God's people said, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.
Let's all stand together. Stay here, Jeff. You know, if you had, in response to Jeff's question. You had, and a whole bunch of people did, had that need. You're waiting on the Lord to answer. You've been praying and you're waiting. Would you just lift your hand up? And if you're near someone, just raise your hand and keep it up. And if you're near someone who's got their hand up, would you reach out? Even if you've got your hand up, reach out, touch another person who's got their hand up. Okay? And we're going to pray. Going to make a chain reaction out of this here, huh? Yeah, Father, thank you that you do answer prayer. You know the needs for healing, physical healing. You know the needs that exist for emotional situations. You know the situations, even where there's been struggle in thought life and struggle in mental health issues. You know the situations where there's broken relationships. You know there's situations where people are praying for loved ones who are not walking with you, and that's what they've been praying and praying and praying. You know all of these things, Father. Some that have financial needs are trying to figure out how in the world they can do what needs to be done because they have a financial need they don't see an answer to. Father, answer in Jesus' name. And thank you that you know the time, but we're praying in Jesus' name that you would begin to make everything happen to bring about the answer to the prayers that they're asking for. And then beyond that, Father, give us the grace and the strength and the perseverance and the faith to keep holding on, to keep praying, to keep trusting, to keep resting in your goodness while we wait for this answered prayer. So thank you for what you're going to do. We're trusting you, Jesus, to do what needs to be done in these situations. Thank you that we don't have to have the perfect words because you already know the need. We don't have to get it all right. We're depending upon a God who understands all of the needs. So thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. We're trusting you. We're trusting you. Amen? So, there's obviously always finances that are needed by someone that travels the world and does what Jeff does. We support him monthly. He called and said, hey, can you give us, we gave you $5,000 or whatever it was for Bibles and so on. But there's always a need. If God speaks to your heart, you just ask Jesus, is there something you want me to do? And God speaks to your heart. There are some bowls in the back on the tables as we normally do, but online, most of you give online. Just go online and make sure you mark it Jeff or Pakistan or that guy with the goofy clothes on or something so that we will know who it goes to, and all of it, as always, all of it will go to him and the ministry that he's doing. And again, he'll be out at the table. He's got books, and he'd love to chat with people as he's able to. But before we dismiss, let's have you head to center circle, and we're going to gather. Yeah.
Just real quick, I'll be at CLC tonight talking more about the needs of children or what we're going to be doing in Karachi to rescue them.
And CLC is a Christian Life Center in Freeland in the little shopping mall or shopping center that's right by China City, if you don't know where that's at. So, and what time is that? Somebody said 6? Is that? Okay.
Okay.
Head down to Center Circle, would you? And this is our tradition. If you're new to Southwoodby Assembly, we just gather around the missionaries. Keep going to Center Circle. You're like a jump ball there, Jeff. And gather around him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we've had over the years to do a tiny, tiny part of what you're doing in him and what you're doing through him. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness over the years. Thank you for the faithfulness of giving him the boys that he has and the grandkids that he so desperately wanted, even though you've never brought a spouse his way. Thank you for that. Thank you for, Lord, the way that you're teaching him through being a grandpa, a dad and a grandpa. Thank you for that. And then now, Father, for what you're doing in Pakistan and what you're doing in so many other places around the world, Father, continue to use him, continue to whisper your word to him that he can broadcast your word across all kinds of places that you put him in. Father, we pray he has personal needs. You'd meet his personal needs. He has ministry needs. You'd meet his ministry needs. He has physical needs, and he needs you to strengthen him physically, to continue to give him the youth he needs in the midst of what you're calling him to do and as he ages. So minister by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, our prayer around Southwoodby Assembly is if you want to speak to people in our congregation and call them to do what you've called Jeff and others to do, God, call people into ministry around the world from this church. So accomplish what you're wanting to accomplish in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So if you're over 55, plan on coming to the meal today. It's not going to be at our house because we didn't know what the weather was going to be. It will be here at 3 o'clock, and love to have you come and join us. And then Chosen starts Tuesday, 6 o'clock. God bless you. Go have a great day. Enjoy the rain. Oh, and there's folks up here, yeah, as normal, our leadership team, they would love to pray with you if you need prayer for something. God bless you.